Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, Binge Punch is first of the month, and it's April. It's February. But somehow we're still hearing that Lewis Hamilton is apparently off to Ferrari. Welcome to Grid Talk. My name is Tom Downey, and today we are just going to have a little impromptu episode to discuss the, at the time of recording, potential rumours that Hamilton is going to Ferrari for 2025. Joining me, we have Grid Talk co-host Owen Medford.
Hello.
And Tom Horrocks.
Hi there.
And then the ugly duckling, Carl King.
Thanks, darling. Hello.
That's all right. That's all right, my friend. Just before we do get into this episode, we must thank our sponsor, as always, Bet Online. So Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that is B-L-E-A-V, that'll give you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And that is BetOnline, which is where the game starts. Also, be sure to follow us on our new, I can't say brand new anymore, socials at Grid Talk UK, so that's Facebook, MySpace, Bebo, all that good stuff. Now, joking aside, that is Facebook, Twitter, all your favourite social media platforms. And yes, I sound like a boomer by saying that, even though I'm not even 30 yet. So this show, a little bit impromptu. I sent a thing out about half an hour ago to see who was available, and unfortunately I got stuck with these three. So I'll go around in order. As we said, the rumour is that Ferrari are signing Hamilton for 2025. Tom, do you think that this will actually go ahead?
Do you know what? Like, if you'd asked me like an hour and a half ago, I say no, not a chance, never going to happen. But I think there's too many people saying things about it to think there's no smoke without fire. So I think I'm erring on the side of yes, it will go ahead now. But I think there's more to it that we don't know yet. So I'm interested to find out what those are. And until it's officially announced by Lewis Hamilton, Mercedes or Ferrari, then I'm not going to fully get on the hype train.
That's fair. One, do you think this move is going ahead for 2025?
I'm in disbelief. I mean, there's, you know, a similar to Tom, like, again, even if an hour ago, if you'd asked me, I'd be like, there's no way that's happening. But I mean, everything seems to point to it. I don't know. It seems like a lot of smoke if there's no fire at all. So I guess we're going to see that it does happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And Carl, last but not least, something like that anyway, do you think Hamilton will go to Ferrari?
Yeah, I do. I'm gonna go with it. I'm slightly dubious as to what the deal is. I don't think he's going in just as a driver. I think there's a management thing. I don't know why. There's something going on in my head there. It just doesn't feel like the right move just for a driver. It's a sensible place to be in Mercedes. He'll have a decent car next year, let's be honest. And Ferrari have a reliability central. So there must be a sweetener in there, whether it's a bucket load of cash, which I'm sure Mercedes would be able to cough up the same bucket. I'm not quite sure as to why he's going to Ferrari, but I do sort of think he will.
Okay, some very interesting thoughts there. So what I'm going to do now as well is I'm going to throw a traditional sort of like order for the podcast out the window.
Because welcome to the Monkey Seat podcast.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, but sub-promise at the end, please. First of all, if you would like to hear more five-star interruptions like that, you can leave us a five-star rating on Spotify or a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. How about that one? Got that one in early today. So, no, when I send something conventions out the window, instead of going around people individually, I think we'll all just sort of like have a chat about it for say like half hour, 40 minutes, because I think something like this, that's sort of the better way that it's going to happen. So off goes host and panelist thing, and let's just have a chat as a group of mates about this, and Carl. So I don't know why.
I feel really today. What's with that, Tom?
Well, my coffee is sitting in my thing next to me, and I haven't drunk it yet, so I think that's why. No, so, I mean, for me, anyway, you know, the Ferrari thing, I kind of agree with what you said earlier, Tom, where it's like, you know, there's always been these rumours, and Hamilton's always said he'd like to drive for Ferrari, but it feels like now it's like, now that we're hearing, you know, the BBC picking up on it, and, you know, Chris Medland has reported on it, and somebody said he's like the Fabrizio Romano of F1, who apparently is very, very sort of like good source for things in football. Oh, and you should be able to correct me on that. I'm not lying to football.
You've got it.
I only got it because someone else said it. I cannot take any credit for that one. But, you know, it's just, I don't know about you boys, but it's just, it feels like it's sort of just come from absolutely nowhere. And I wonder if, obviously...
Has it, these rumours have been going around for a long time.
Well, this is what I mean. You know, they've been going around. You know, there's always, you know, and, you know, Ferrari is synonymous with F1. You know, it's one of, well, it's the name in F1, let's be fair. You're closely followed by McLaren and then Williams, let's say. But it's gone from sort of like, oh, yeah, Hamilton joined Ferrari to... Mercedes have apparently got like some internal meeting at 2 o'clock. So that is in an hour and 45 minutes time, where, you know, Toto and James Allison and all the rest of it, they're all going to, you know, sort of like discuss it then. I mean, I think Hamilton's also looking like past F1. You know, does anybody want to like?
That's why I'm thinking there's something else. There's a sweetener on this deal.
I don't understand why he would sign a 2-year deal with Mercedes to then less than 6 months later sign another deal with Ferrari. Unless he signed that deal with this, you know, this really like really leaky option in there, which allows him to get out of it, or even that it was discussed with Toto that, you know, I'll sign this 2-year deal, but I might, you know, if things don't go well at the end of this season, I might well look at going somewhere else. And I know that the last couple of contracts he's signed, he's been getting less and less money. I can only assume this Ferrari contract is a massive, huge payday as well. Not that that's his prime motivation. His motivation is getting the 8th championship. But
you're not going to do it to Ferrari.
I don't know. Like let's be honest. 2017 and 2018, they had a car that could have won the world championship. And if Lewis Hamilton was in that car instead of Sebastian Vettel, I think Lewis Hamilton wins a couple of championships for Ferrari. So, and I think he knows
that. 2018.
Yeah,
why
I think he knows.
Why would you waited for a year? Why would you not wait till 2026? It just seems random to go into 25.
I feel like this is
designing the car.
I feel like his plan was to go for 26, but then they've the opportunity came for 25, and he's gone, well, let's do a year early and then get used to it, like Alonso did.
My only thought is Sainz has been given an offer, and that's what's pushed the boat on quite quickly. Do you not think?
Sorry, Owen, you were going to say something.
I'm just thinking, 2026, why would you... I almost wouldn't want to go too early, because that's new engine regs, unless twice in the same career, which seems kind of insane that we'd have, you know, Ferrari have gone, right, stuff the V6 regulations that we've currently got. We're not going to be able to do that. You know, we'll never get on a par with the power that Mercedes and Honda now have. You know, he's going to be courted again. And, you know, Ferrari have essentially just nailed down, you know, done a Mercedes and just gone, right, we can't do it, and poured all their resources into it and do a similar thing. Because, I mean, it would be ridiculous if it happened twice. But I think that's why you don't go 2026. You know, you almost want that year X, a year to learn the team. And then you're, as Tom says, on a bit of a par as it was.
It's a huge career risk. It's a huge career risk to go up, to risk his legacy going up against who I think is currently the fastest qualifier in Formula One, possibly in the history of the sport. It's a huge gamble. I think overall Hamilton is probably at the moment the stronger presence in Formula One. But Leclerc, like, he's the real deal. And in the right scenario, he is a multiple world champion. So to go up against that, when you've got Max Verstappen with no real competitor in the car opposite, and then to give George Russell the whole team. Like, you know, I think he knows that he's potentially got the measure of Russell at the moment over the next couple of years. So to give Russell an entire organization behind him trying to win that world championship, it's a huge risk on multiple
God
levels.
Help me if George Russell wins a championship. Yeah. But the thing is that it feels like a bit of a midlife crisis. Do you know, like, he's a Merc driver, and now he's suddenly got the old banger of a Ferrari that he's just gone and bought, and he wants to drive that around. That's what it feels like. It feels like it's not a career suicide. It's a career change, because he is stagnant. He is stagnant in Mercedes. Where's he going to go? How's he going to get better? It feels like he's done his time there, and maybe that's it. He wants a new challenge and something exciting to drive around in. that and with an exciting brand, exciting name. The thing is he going to fail by being in a Ferrari? He could always jump back out and go to wherever. Do you know what I mean? I don't think anyone's
McLaren. Return to McLaren.
But like, what, you know, I don't feel that there's any real sort of issue with his career. I don't think it's a career nightmare.
Yeah, and you know, I wonder if there's like an element of when Schumacher went to Mercedes, you know, way back when. And, you know, is it a case of, you know, something we don't? Obviously, we've got the engine regs in 2026. You know, is there going to be more to it? You know, there's obviously something we don't know, because this has gone from being like, it might happen to, it sounds like it's going to happen. And as I think, Carl, you said earlier, there's no smoke without fire, and something's happening. And, you know, it does look like, it looks like it's going to happen. So I want to steer the conversation a little bit. Who replaces Hamilton and Mercedes?
I'm going to nail my flag to the gatepost right now and say Antonelli. Straight in as a rookie.
Straight in the Mercedes. He's only going into F2 this year, isn't he?
I know. Well, I mean, that's caveated by how he does in F2. If he goes the way that he wins F2, he does.
Yeah.
Or certainly if he does well in F2. Lando Norris got the nod by finishing second, but that's because he didn't have as good a car as the other guys. But for me, it'd be him, or the other option would be Esteban Ocon, as Louis mentioned in the chat, given that he is managed by Toto Wolff. But and also, he has also done a very good job, Ocon, over the last few years.
You're going to have to eat your words, Tom.
I know. I'm just saying that to try and curse him. Sergio Perez to Mercedes. I've called him now. No. I'm going to say Antonelli.
Okay. Fine. Who do you think?
Or who do I think?
Who do you think? Because I'm going to ask you all another question after this, actually.
What if it's a straight swap?
What, Sainz?
Yeah.
Sainz would be strong. That's the one thing as well. People say about this closes off options for Sainz. It also opens a door for the rest of the grid, because a lot of places will seem completely
Yeah, everyone's going to start dancing around.
This is a huge reshuffle now. I think you're going to see Alonso sniffing around that Mercedes seat, definitely.
We haven't had a silly season last year, and now we're going to get a crazy one this year.
Yeah.
I think you've also got Albon. Could be an interesting one to put in.
Oh, I could take Albon.
I could see Albon and Russell. Ooh. I think there would be a British dream team in some ways. Gosh,
he's Thai.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. You know.
Sorry for any Thai listeners.
Yeah, as much as I'm Irish, Tom.
Same thing.
You know, I think Albon could be an interesting one. I think it'd be sort of a bit of a younger dream team. The other, I don't know contract, but I think contracts have gone out of windows this now, is Oscar Piastri.
I mean, clearly the contracts are out of the windows, because what, like, Hamilton's he's extended until end of 2025. But, you know, if you can do a break clause or a get out clause, or, you know, or just do the good old fashioned pay the contract off, like, clearly it doesn't matter. So, I mean, you know, Mark Webber's the sort of person who's going to manage Piastri. Well, clearly they're fairly ruthless when it comes to the contract. So if they can do it, you know.
I wonder if this is why Norris also signed that contract and got that contract signed. There was something, rumours going around early on about him, and he just went to stake his mark in the ground.
That's not a bad shout, you know, I should call.
I think certainly McLaren would have wanted to lock him in if they were knowing that that all those rumours that a Mercedes seat might have been coming away. I wonder if Carlos Sainz knew about this before today as well.
I'm sure he did. I think he's known for the last 2 years, Tom.
It would be big Ferrari to announce his replacement without telling him.
That's right. That's an Alpine, isn't it?
That's an Alpine.
This just screams of Vettel Ferrari 2020.
It does. I will say, don't ask how I know. Apparently, it's not a 2 o'clock meeting. It's a 2:30 meeting with Toto in attendance.
I've heard this. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's that's a full company meeting, and I think that pretty much confirms it, bearing in mind you've got the no comments coming out of Ferrari as well. I think this is nailed on.
I think something is going on. And whether their full meeting is an announcement to the team, which would then be pressed quite quickly. So we should know about 3 o'clock as to really what's going on, I think.
Yeah.
3 o'clock UK, GMT. It will be interesting. And, you know, How long's Toto got left at Mercedes as well? Yeah, obviously, as owner, he's different, but as team principal.
He's just signed a new deal as well. Not that means anything, but he's just...
Ask Perez. Deals could be broken.
Well, let's be honest. He signed a new deal with a third of himself. Like, you know, you remember he owns a third of that team. So there's a certain amount. And, you know, Jim Ratcliffe's not exactly sort of... He's moving around, but they how did that deal work? I don't remember. I don't remember if they diluted the stake of each Mercedes and Toto, but I know it's a bit weird.
It's split completely evenly a third, isn't it?
Yeah, third, third, third.
And what about where could Sainz go now?
Audi.
Audi's take not... a year off and then go to Audi? A year off.
I don't think take a year off.
Can you see him go to Sauber for a year though?
That's what
replace Bottas.
He won't.
Sorry, stake.
He's better than Bottas.
Yeah.
I mean he is.
He's not, like, show.
He's not, that's what I'm saying. Does he take a year off in inverted commas and actually sign to Audi next year and, you know, be ready for Audi?
Can't see him leaving Formula One for a year to then join an Audi team that's probably not going to be front of the field. I think he'd rather be in an uncompetitive Sauber than that.
Well, the rumour of Lando Norris going there has obviously been squashed as well.
It has now, yeah. I think Sainz was always their top target, but this deal has just massively reduced Carlos Sainz's stock in the sense that he would have been able to name his price to Audi, but now they know he hasn't got a choice and it might just be that Audi is his best option.
Yeah, but if he goes to Audi, well, Sauber or whatever the feck they want to call it, he's not going to go in this year. Now. So he then ends up sort of floating for a year, doesn't he?
Well, no, I figure because he's still there. He's still at Ferrari this year, isn't he? So then it's just 25. It could potentially be a stake or Sauber or whatever they're calling himself this week for the season.
You watch. Carlos Sainz will have the season of his life this year.
I hope so. I mean, Aston Martin would be a good shout, especially if Alonso gets the move to Mercedes. Well, can you imagine that?
Oh, Jesus, Alonso it's going to be real dancing chairs.
I'll give you something to think about in a second. But what I just want to ask you first is, very quickly, Tom, we said who do you think will replace Hamilton? Who do you want to replace Hamilton?
Antonelli. I just love the story of an 18-year-old rookie coming into a top team. I would just love to see that, especially how highly he's rated. If he turns out he's absolutely terrible in Formula 2, then I will revise my theory. But based on what I know about Antonelli and what I think he's going to be like, I would love to see Antonelli.
Okay. Oh, interesting question. Who do you want to see replace?
If only because apparently I'm a bit of a masochist / sadist, I think, for everyone else. I'd just like to see... I kind of want to see Fernando Alonso. I just want to see how that would play out.
All right.
I bet he's already on the phone. Like, I guarantee you. He's currently sat in Brackley in the car park.
Let me in the door.
You see that in his new company, Mercedes. Right. Carl, what about you, mate?
Stroll. No.
Lawrence Stroll has actually bought the team. That's actually what's...
I genuinely think Albon. I want Albon. I think he would be... It's his time to shine. If he does another season in Williams, where's he going to go? He needs to go somewhere next season. So he can't sit in Williams, I don't think, unless James Rolls suddenly turns that team around, that car around, which I can't imagine. And that 2026 car is something tasty, but... I think he makes sense.
Okay.
He's driving for Mercedes at the moment. You know, it's in the Mercedes engine car, so it's sort of the links are there.
Yeah. I'll tell you who I would... I'll tell you what I can see happening and something to think about. Honda are obviously going to Aston Martin in 2026. And the way Alonso, for want of a better... slags Honda off. I'm trying to find a better way of phrasing it. But you know, the stuff that Alonso was saying about Honda when he's obviously driving for McLaren, they're not going to want, or Honda aren't going to want Alonso in that car again. And do you think they'll bring Yuki? Because obviously Honda backed Yuki into the AlphaTauri in 2021. Mm. That will then free up...
Yuki and Stroll, that'd be crash derby, wouldn't it?
No. I think because Daddy Stroll has been putting a lot more money into the Aston Martin hypercar project, and I think after 2023, he's realised that Lars just isn't cut out for F1. And I think...
There's two seats in Aston then.
Yeah, so I think he'll put Lance in the hypercar, because I think Lance will do well in hypercars, because there's the new Valkyrie or Valhalla project. I can't remember which one it's called, or the Vulcan. One of them begins with V. Owen probably knows.
Which one do you mean? Because there's the Valhalla, which is the road car, and then you've got the Valkyrie, Well, the one they're doing, what, for WEC and IMSA?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's the, yeah, that's the Valkyrie. It's
I thought so, yeah.
They're not going to have to build road cars. They're going to go on a dedicated hypercar route for that. Just complete aside, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I could see Stoll going into that, and then Yuki and Drugovic in Aston Martin.
I can't see Drugovic Aston Martin. I think his time has now passed. But I can see like someone like Alex Albon getting that move as the next logical step for him if Mercedes don't have the confidence in him. But yeah, I agree though, I do think that Lance Stroll's time in Formula One is now.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Less secure than it has been, given that Aston Martin have sold part of the team to other investors as well. It's no longer just a vanity project. So I can genuinely see this being Stroll's last year, or certainly one of his last seasons in Formula One. So the end may finally be in sight.
I'm just thinking, it's interesting that none of us are saying Mick Schumacher, who is supposedly the reserve driver.
Good one. No, he's driving an Alpine and WEC, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's going to do anything. Does this really shake up everyone? Is there any teams that are solid that are going to stay as is now that in the for 2025? Because everyone must McLaren. Be looking around, going, "Oh, there's a space over there."
Yeah, McLaren will remain unchanged. I'm convinced about that.
What about Alpine? Alpine's a disaster zone at the moment.
No, I think one of those two goes. One of those two goes at the end of the season. I think the driver that goes is Ocon.
And Haas?
Oh, who knows? Haas, I'm not even convinced he'll be on the grid.
I think Haas will be interesting in a few years. Yeah, me too.
I mean, Gene Haas has been wanting to sell up for, well, he's not been wanting to do that for years. Andretti coming in and taking it off him would probably be helpful for everyone. Mm.
The only way he'd sell that team at the moment, though, is if someone offered him £1 billion, generally.
But it's not worth £1 billion.
It's not. It's worth
about £2.50.
Well, no, for the entry alone, it's worth a minimum of £200 million, because that's how much you have to pay to...
Sorry, Braun bought whatever that team was for a quid.
Yeah, but that's before there was an entry cost to joining Formula One, which instantly put £200 million onto the value of every Formula One team, even if they just have the entry. That's without any facilities, any car, any talent. So every Formula One team is worth a minimum of £200 million. So,
and that's likely to be hyped when we get the new Concorde agreement. So it's
exactly,
they want £600 million for that.
Gene's holding out till the next Concorde, and then he'll sell the team, I think, for a huge profit.
Yeah.
Speaking of, why have the FIA actually made a statement at all? Do you reckon that's like sort of standard procedure, or
cover my ass?
It's a bit weird to me.
It's a bit odd, isn't it?
It's a complete cover my ass thing of, no, we realise, but we can't do anything about it now. You know, we've made a mistake, but like to say the team was uncompetitive just seemed the most random excuse.
Yeah, he's basically like, he's basically just having a dig at his own team where his name is the team. Well,
it's just weird. It's weird that the FIA, which approved them, has then come out and said against FOM that we're just we're going to move forward. I don't know why even acknowledge it. Like, that's my thinking, but
it's sort of a bit mad. Yeah, I think it feels like we're in the middle of summer now. In a weird way, like with silly season starting and all these discussions, we normally don't start them until April, May time. And now here we are discussing. I think it's just going to throw a lot of turmoil into these as to who's going where, and a lot of uncomfortableness for a lot of drivers and interest from like Drugovic, Logan, not Logan, what's the other one?
Lance.
No. Who drove for Ricardo for a while? The Australian.
Carl, I don't know what on earth you're on about.
Who drove in Ricardo's chair when he broke his wrist?
Lawson.
That's the guy.
To be fair, if you can lure Lawson away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there could be a lot of floating around and a lot of squeaky bum times.
I'll tell you what, it's a bit, it's funny that we were sitting there going, well, this is the first, what is it, the first F1 season since like 1952 or something, that no one's, you know, we've had no driver changes between two seasons, and then we get sort of, it seems a bit calm before the storm.
Yeah.
Well, with this news.
Yeah. I think there was things at play last season and no one could sign anything or agree with anything, so they just went, okay, let's have the winter break and we'll try and work it out.
It's weird that, actually, I've just thought, it's weird that it's happened on the 1st of February that this is happening.
Like, I say.
Well, I'm thinking maybe it's an expiry on the 31st of January. But, you know,
that contract.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have been.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I just think this could be clutching at straws here, but I just think there's something to those dates.
Yeah, it's all very, like, it's all very conveniently timed, isn't it? So
I'd feel rubbish being part of the Mercedes team. And I'd feel rubbish being part of the Ferrari team at the moment, because as a mechanic, because where, you know, as a team member, like, there must be so much turmoil in those teams, and I wonder whether, you know, this meeting that's going to happen, as to what that meeting is going to elicit.
Yeah, and obviously we don't have. Sorry, I'm trying to sort something out on the desk. Obviously, we don't have any insights. Well, certainly. Few of us here don't have any insight. Do you, Wayne? Have any insight as to what's going on in that meeting? You know, we should be clear that at the moment it is just speculation, but a speculation, and then there's this level of speculation. So, well, yeah, I'm just we'll see. But yeah, it's.
I think something's happening. Whether it's
something's definitely
the
happening.
Black and white of Hamilton to Ferrari. I think something is definitely happening.
Absolutely. We do have some comments in chat. Oh, we've got some weird podcast called the Monkey Seed Podcast.
That's actually me.
For everybody sitting here who doesn't know, the Monkey Seed is Tom and Carl, and we're all very good friends here, so hence why there's a little bit of ribbing going on. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, Tom, you mentioned about Kimi Antonelli going straight in. If he sets F2 like we suspect he will, and if you want to hear more about F2, go listen to our sister show, Formula Talk. There you are, Soph.
Nice plug.
Yeah, that was well played. That was smooth. That was vetoed. That was so smooth. Yeah, no, yeah. If Kimi Antonelli, and I went to say Kimi, then I thought, why am I talking about Raikkonen? But no, of course it's Kimi Antonelli. If he does have a big year in F2, then that could be it. My mate Aston, who's in chat, he says, I want to make stuff. He says, poor Charles, and also Alonso to Merck. I could see Alonso going to Merck. But it would be the most Alonso thing to move to Merck when they're on a bit of a downward slump. You know, it'll just add to his list of poor team moves.
And, I'm here for it.
And do you know what? I think if Alonso did go to Merck and then Merck, you know, got more competitive, because I think they gave themselves a hard time in 2023, because I think the car was better than they gave themselves credit for. Because if you take, obviously, the whole season to Red Bull out of the equation, Merck winning the championship, you know, winning the constructors at least, and blah, blah, blah. You know, so if they are on that upward trajectory, you know, Hamilton himself said Mercedes have found that North Star or whatever he said, just before he leaves. You know, so I'd just like to see Russell Alonso just have a falling out. I think that'd be hilarious. And I'd be so here for it. Louis made a really, really good point in chat. He said, Sainz is a criminally underrated and overlooked driver. Feels like his time at Renault all over again. Hopefully he'll land on his feet at a good team, be it Red Bull or Merck. I fully agree. And I've been saying for a couple of years now that Sainz is the better race driver at Ferrari. Leclerc's better over one lap. Oh, yeah. There's no question Leclerc's better over one lap. But look at Sainz's win in Singapore. The racecraft to do what he did. You know, when he said it's on purpose keeping Lando in DRS. Yeah, Louis, you've made a great point.
I think he would make a great second driver in Red Bull.
I think he makes an amazing partner for Charles Leclerc, and I think it's ballsy for Ferrari to change that, given that I think they have, for what Ferrari have, for what they need, I think that is the best driver lineup in Formula One.
But Sainz is
because
too...
Leclerc has that out and out pace, that X factor, that something Sainz can race him to within the tiniest margin, but that just tiny X factor, you know, Leclerc's got it. But as we've seen, Sainz will win him. Sainz will win in a competitive car. Sainz and Leclerc will optimize over a season and be an amazing team. I think Hamilton
is your problem.
I think, well, that's the point there, and they will be an amazing team. I think Hamilton and Leclerc will be a little bit more combustible. That will be my one concern. Then, however, every element that Carlos Sainz has that makes him strong, Lewis is stronger. So from that element, it is a trade-up.
I'll be honest with you. Assuming Lewis can come in and hit the ground running and that sort of thing, I don't see Leclerc as a match at all. I think they'll be similar on one lap pace. Maybe Leclerc might be that bit faster, but it won't matter because every time they go into a race, you know that, I don't know, I just see a sort of vulnerability almost in Leclerc in that he seems to throw away opportunities. Whereas
this is all about Ferrari putting Leclerc on a pedestal. This really is. Yeah. It's like you're better than it's 8-time world champion. And that's what this is all about.
7-time champion.
So, but that's what it's all about. It's all about Leclerc. And if Leclerc said, I want to now, Sainz is too close to me and it's nothing, we're not gaining anything from it. Because, you know, if they're battling each other, I think putting Hamilton into it gives a very different driving style, very different remit. And Leclerc can learn off Hamilton, but also can still be ahead of it. And that's a shocking thing to say. But I think, and the only reason the advantage of Hamilton is that he's going into a retirement job.
Yeah. It all feels massively high risk, doesn't it?
It does.
For everyone.
There's no party that's getting a sort of safe deal here.
No, absolutely not. And I think it's going to throw a lot of curveballs with a lot of other teams as well.
Yeah, and it's going to kick off the most, well, it's already kicking off the most like incredible city season, and the season hasn't even started. You know, this is I genuinely did not see this coming at all, especially after Hamilton signed the contract extension. And then he's basically just gone, mic drop. And
can you hear the Netflix episode on this already? There were the Twitter messages and things.
Yeah. They hear the Twitter sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Will Buxton.
Oh, sorry, X.
X. Oh, yeah, you know.
X, you know. Formerly Twitter.
Yeah, X.
Yeah,
yeah,
you can imagine the episode.
Yeah. Mate, I've just finished watching the Six Nations documentary done by the same on Netflix. Very good, by the way.
And this one's very good.
Yeah. I got the NASCAR one to watch next.
Yeah.
So. But you know, it's all done by the same people as Drive to Survive. And you know, I can just picture, you know, that sort of distant like beep sound that they do with the sort of like echo like thud.
Yeah.
And then I can just imagine Will Buxton walking onto the screen and going, "Nobody saw this coming. Nobody in F1. You know, just like proper like OTT.
I've just shown the previous footage of Hamilton just saying, "No, I'm still Mercedes."
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they'll wang you back to 2021. That's what they'll do. You know, do you remember when Hamilton took a break from socials and stuff after you know the events at the end of that season? They'll no doubt twist that.
It's a great season opener for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or do they finish it on this season because it hasn't come out yet? Do they have time to?
No, they've already finished and probably recorded and edited this season. Mm-hmm. They'll just stick a title card on the end of the last episode and say, coming in
they,
season
like they did with Nick season. DeVries, didn't they? They just had DeVries sitting down and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, things that didn't age well. DeVries' F1 career. We've got a couple more. Oh, here's a bold take from Buttercream Cream Fiend. Great name, by the way. That's a good one, actually. In the YouTube chat, imagine this. Alonso going to Merck and winning the championship in 2025. Yeah, my words. I think we would actually see Ruby step down from being an F1 fan if that happened.
That's a cream fiend. Are you Elliot Galton by any chance? It's our friend. He's Alonso super fan.
Welcome in, mate.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Another thing he said, if he has to carry Sol for another season, he might leave. And so like, I can see it. I can see it, yeah. We've got more comments.
So what do you mean if?
Oh, yeah. True, yeah, if. Yeah, very good point. MZ11, Lewis has big and plural, you know what I mean? And confidence, he will beat anyone. That's fair. He said he will happily join Max Red Bull, and I don't think anyone else will actually move. Drivers can talk the talk, but Lewis has walked the walk. I think that's a fair comment, to be honest. You know, I don't think anybody is questioning Hamilton's ability. And I think if anybody does question Hamilton's ability, well, you just, excuse me, you just need to look at the cold hard facts.
He had to take the penalty here, didn't he? Before anyone, you know, and hit the goal. And yeah, it's a fair point.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, certainly none of us here, and Carl, you right, are not Hamilton fans by any stretch. These other two, well, unfortunately, they are joking.
Yeah, but you, as not a Hamilton fan, yeah.
We should still massively appreciate what he's done in the sport, and I've always said that, and I will always say it. So, yeah.
I'm a Lando Norris fan, mate. Come on.
Yeah, sure. But no, everybody's a Lando fan. Now, another one, Ruby's posted this from Aaron. I did see Aaron post it in Slack earlier. Big question around the possible Hamilton to Ferrari move. Does it add value to F1? Asking for an American friend.
Yes, absolutely it does add value to that. That partnership for Formula One is absolutely huge, and it will just elevate it to a whole nother level. It's having a British driver, first British driver to drive for Ferrari since Nigel Mansell as well. It'll be massive for Ferrari in this country, who since, again, for 40 years now, have just been the big bad. You know, they've been the villain of the piece, effectively. So Hamilton driving for Ferrari is huge for Ferrari, and it is huge for brand Hamilton as well. To see him in red will be take a lot of getting used to.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good, the Americans. I don't know. Are the Americans as big on Ferrari as the rest of the world? I just feel that they are very weirdly English team supporting, British team supporting more than Italian. But yeah, like, I think it will be an exciting, I think, and it will move, it will excite them. And it will make something of the Americans, and here we go, Chicago.
I'm not even getting into that. Yeah.
I'm fine if it replaces Miami.
Yeah. But it's still too many American races.
Three's fine. I'm fine with three, but I'm not fine with Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. Mind you, I think now that Vegas has come on the side of Miami standard, Miami's just gone, oh no. You know, it's the Ralph Wiggum chuckles, I'm in danger, basically. You know, so bad they're giving him a sprint. Yeah, so Aston, who's I Want to Make Stuff in chat, he said Daddy Stroll sell out in 2027, then Stroll us out. I think a Papi Stroll is working on an exit strategy, especially with unfortunately Saudi, you know, putting more money into that team. I can see that happening. As you might have figured out, I am beginning to wrap up now. Also, Buttercream themed, stagnation is bad. Every driver needs to move through the teams in their career. The potential it brings to shake up the grid or change the direction of a team can make new seasons more exciting. That's a really good point.
Yeah, and also I can't remember the last driver, if there ever has been a driver that's won a world championship in three different teams. I don't think there has been. So him going to Ferrari to hopefully, from his perspective, try and get that eighth world championship, because I can't see it happening this year. I can't think of any other driver that's won a world championship in three different teams.
I can't see it happening in any year now. He is going to be second to Clerky Boy.
Yeah, I think that next
that happens.
2025, I think he'll look like we'll have the measure in. But 2026, if he can maintain his level, I think he will be back either on a par or ahead of Leclerc. But it's still a huge gamble, because if he does, you know, if he does kind of lose that, you know, a couple of percent of his top level, then Leclerc will overtake him. So, and that's if Leclerc stays still,
which he will when his car breaks down in a Ferrari.
Buttercream Fiend, sorry, I'm not sure what to call you, so I'll call you that. Said, bring back Hockenheim, mate, I am with you on that, and bring back Malaysia while we're there. Yeah, Ruby, I wouldn't quit if Alonso won in a Merc. Fair, I'd quit if Saudi got more presence in F1. Fair. Yeah. Well, I think, gentlemen, unless any of you want to add anything else about the, at the time of recording, rumoured Alonso, no, not Alonso, wrong one. Hamilton.
Not yet, anyway, Tom. That's next week.
That's next week's show. It's like, Alonso to Mercedes confirmed. Yeah, no, so, that's, I think that's going to be it from us about the, at the moment, rumours of Hamilton moving to Ferrari for 2025. Chaps, just want to give you a chance to promote yourself. So, Carl, I said you were part of the Monkey Seed podcast. Who did you host that with, by the way?
This person down there, I think.
You're down there to me.
You're down there. I'm just looking at the feed. You're actually down there with me. That is Mr. Tom Horrocks. And we run the Monkey Seat. We're the sweary slightly crazy version.
We noticed.
Yes. So sorry. We are very silly and we talk about rubbish. But we try and get through what's happening in seasons and racing. We haven't done one in a while. We keep going with do one and we will. But yeah, I think we were meant to do one soon and now this has all happened. But hey, see it happens.
This is the one. We'll just double this.
Yeah, we're claiming this.
Yeah. We'll just post this as a link in our feed. Yeah. There we go. And that's my plug for the monkey seat as well.
Do you want to plug anything else, Tom, or is that it?
Just everyone, just please come and support Grid Talk. It's all fan-led. We're not professionals. We absolutely love the sport, especially on days like this. So just please support Grid Talk in everything that we do.
Very true. Anything you want to give a plug to?
Just social channels at Grid Talk UK is where you can find us.
Absolutely. And I'll give, like I said earlier, a quick plug to Formula Talk, where we cover... Lord, we cover F2, F3, F1 Academy. And we're now looking at Formula E, IndyCar,
NASCAR.
Yeah, all sorts. So that will be fun. So just to round out the episode. Yeah, thank you so much for joining. Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most episodes are recorded live. You know, this one obviously being except this one going live because, you know, it's breaking news in F1. You can also catch everything on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows. Please also do consider supporting the channel, whether that's through Patreon or, you know, any means that you can. It will help us get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. Also, make sure you are subscribed so you're the first to know, when each new weekly episode is released. Can you tell it's been a while since I've hosted? We will be back soon. Probably in about 2 hours before I'm joking for a bunch more F1 content. Thank you very much for listening to the Grid Talk podcast presented by Bet Online, and goodbye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.